As I mentioned before, keep Brother Moser in your prayers. And when we talked earlier this week, and I decided to switch with him on preaching this morning. He'll be preaching next Sunday morning, by the way. I wasn't real sure the direction that God would want me to go, being the Sunday that we focus on the resurrection of Christ and the fact that He's alive, He's no longer in that grave. And you know that song we just sang, I mean, it says it all, because He lives. Not only do we have eternal life, but we have hope today. We can live with confidence today and put our faith in Christ. But I wasn't sure the direction to go, and so I looked back at the series that we're having as far as our yearly theme, and that is Faith for the Journey. And I looked at the character that we were going to talk about next, and I tell you what, the Lord knew what was going to happen, because as we'll see this morning, it fits in perfect concerning faith in the resurrection. We're going to talk about Joseph this morning from the Old Testament. And I think we're going to see that the Scriptures make it very clear. It doesn't matter if you have put faith in Christ before He died or and arose or afterwards. If you have placed your faith in Christ, then salvation is yours. And that's what we're going to see with Joseph in the Old Testament. Turn with me, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22. Here in a minute, we're going to go back to Genesis chapter 50 and read the few verses there concerning the passage in Hebrews 11, verse 22. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 22, and those this morning that have not followed along with our series, we're going down through Hebrews 11. Now, some call this the chapter of faith. Some say this is the heroes of faith. We have several examples given to us of men and women that lived by faith. And the point the Apostle Paul, I believe, was trying to get across to the Hebrews was, guess what? As difficult as your trials are, others have went through that as well. And they lived by faith. They trusted in God. And guess what? God saw them through and God blessed them. You see, it's there to encourage us. This morning, Hebrews 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones." Now, turn with me, if you would, over to Genesis chapter 50. I want to just read the few verses where this is referring to. It's not a long passage, so I'll read them both, and then we'll get into our message this morning. Genesis chapter 50, and verse 22 is where it begins. And it says, "And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house. And Joseph lived 110 years. And Joseph saw Ephraim's children of the third generation. The children also of Machir, the son of Manasseh, were brought up upon Joseph's knees. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you, and bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from hence. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt." Let's have a word of prayer before we continue on this morning. Dear Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings you provided. I thank you for those this morning that are in attendance. I pray that you'll open up our hearts to your word today. Help us to be attentive. And Lord, more than anything else, I pray that you'll work in our hearts this morning. You know the need of each individual. And I pray that you'll provide that spiritual need today. Help us to be encouraged from your word. And if need be, challenged from your word today. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to look at Joseph and his life of faith. Now Joseph was a man of faith. I know we got several young children in here this morning. I imagine some of you probably know the story of Joseph. Now even you older children, I say older children, older individuals probably know the story of Joseph. Joseph was one of the first stories of the Bible that I remember learning. Maybe it's because I learned it often. You know, many of the teachers taught a lesson from Joseph because it's exciting. You know, his life was filled with not only adventure, but all sorts of troubles and trials. And he maintained his faith in God. Now, you think about Joseph. He had faith in God concerning his future. He had faith in God when afflicted. You talk about being afflicted. I had some brothers. One of them's here, so I got to be careful. But they never threw me in a pit and never got rid of me. He was afflicted. He had faith in God. He also had faith to overcome temptation. He had faith that feared God instead of the sin that was in the world. He had faith to forgive. Now that's, you talk about faith, it's hard to forgive. You know, we can hold on to grudges and we can become bitter. He had faith to forgive, and not only forgive, but he showed compassion to his brothers and his family. And then he had faith to stand before the world, before the kings of the world, and before the people of the world, and to lead as a leader. And he had faith to lead after God's plan. You see, by the way, when he went and he shared with Pharaoh what took place, you know, the 7 years of famine, and he began to work, that was by faith, because that hadn't occurred yet. He was working by faith that God would bring things to pass. You know, as we look at the life of Joseph, or at least as I looked at the life of Joseph, I thought about something this week. I thought, you know what? I would have picked something different and put it in Hebrews 11:22 if it was up to me. Now, I'm thankful it's not up to me. But if I would have had the choice, I would have picked something different. I would have said, you know, his faith had to have been great when he went into Egypt. It had to have been great when he got thrown back into that jail. It had to have been great when he stood before the king. But you know, the faith that God picked out, the Holy Spirit picked out and put in Hebrews 11:22 for us to not only look at, but to learn from, is the faith that he had when he prepared to die. As he was preparing to leave the land of the living, so to speak. You know what this reminded me of? It reminded me of the fact that that which appears to be the most impressive does not always please God. You know what? Humanly speaking, we can be impressed by a lot of things. And I really don't believe God is impressed by some of the things we're impressed with. Also, you think of this, results are not proper indications of faith. Just because someone is, I guess you say, going and having a nice life doesn't mean that they're living by faith. You see, they can be living completely by their own strength and power. Also, appearance does not confirm faith. You see, we're reminded that our judgment, I'll just put this back on me, my judgment is poor concerning what pleases God the most. You see, faith is often hidden. You know, there are some people, I believe, that we may look and say, well, I'm not sure if they're living by faith. When in reality, they are taking every step by faith, trusting in God to direct their life, trusting in God with their future. It just may not be shown as, I guess, say, easy as some others. Also, faith is not based upon emotions. You see, someone can have faith in God and they can just be stoic. I mean, they're just like a statue. I mean, they might not be emotional, but their faith in God is there. They're set. They're firm on God's word. Now, Joseph lived by faith. And I believe we'll see this morning that his faith when nearing death obviously was strong. But evidently, it was the strongest faith that he had his entire life. And that says a lot concerning his life. Three thoughts I'll give to you this morning real quick. First, he had faith when he was looking upon death or facing death. You know, Hebrews 11:22, I'll read it to you again as we look at this passage. Hebrews 11:22 says, "By faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. Like Isaac and like Jacob before him, Joseph addressed and prepared for death." Now, don't worry this morning, I'm not going to stay on this topic long. But death is something we do at least need to understand is real. You know, there's no sense of avoiding something that's going to happen. The best thing to do is prepare for it. Get ready because it is going to occur. Now, when you think about the Old Testament saints like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the rest, you do realize they did not have the complete Word of God that we're blessed with. You know, this morning, thank the Lord for the Bible. You can go home, you can read it. You might even have it on your phone this morning or your computer, and you can read the Word of God. They didn't have the complete Word of God. Now, they had enough, I guess you say, for them to understand God and salvation and to live by faith. But you see, they had to put their faith in God without as much information as we have today. Yet they did. They lived by faith. They believed that there was a Messiah coming. They believed that Jesus Christ would appear and that He would lay down His life for sin and that He would provide salvation for those that would believe. You know, this morning when it comes to death, as we'll see here in a minute, it's not good to ignore it, but to address it and prepare for life afterwards. You know, Joseph was wise. He really was. I mean, he led a nation for the most part. He was a wise man. And I believe he probably realized what would occur following his death. See, Joseph was not only book smart, Joseph was practical. I mean, he was raised, he got a lot of his education there in the prison. I believe he understood what was going to take place. The Jews were already despised. The only reason that they were probably, I guess, given any kind of favor was because of Joseph. He was a powerful man. He was a leader. And the Jews were given nice land, nice property, and they were left alone. But I imagine Joseph knew eventually that's going to change. God had already prophesied that it would. And I imagine Joseph, being a wise man, said, "It's going to happen. When I'm off the scene and there's no longer a representative for the Jewish people in the nation of Egypt, then things probably will begin to go the other way for him. And they won't have that favor that they have now." But the Bible tells us that he put his faith in God. You see, he didn't know all the information, but he trusted what God gave him. You know, this morning, for the believer, when you think about this, death is final. It is. And I know some who really don't fear death for themselves, but they are going to miss their friends and the family that are here. You see, death is something that is a separation, of course, from our loved ones and our friends. Now, if you're saved, it's only a momentary separation, but it is a separation. You think about this, it's the last time you'll be able to do anything for God on earth when you approach death. Now, a worldly man, if you talk to someone in the world who doesn't care about God or anything else, they have nothing to look forward to. They really don't. Nothing to encourage, nothing to leave, words of wisdom. But when you think about it, those that belong to God, there is a future there. There's a hope. And not only a hope to look forward to, but a hope to leave behind to those that you love and those that you care for. Now, death is real. But to the believer this morning, as we'll see, because of Jesus Christ, it's nothing to fear for us. You know, I think it's interesting about Joseph. You know how he talked about this? He talked about it, we read Genesis 50, as if it was just something he had to do. You know, death was near, his time. And so he got them all together and he talked to them. You know, you read that passage, and when you think about it, it's a very special passage. Here he is talking about him holding his grandchildren. And then he calls them together and tells them it's time, the time is near for him to die. I almost get the sense of it was just something he knew was next. No different than maybe you got to go to the doctor this week. You know, I got to go to the doctor. Got to go to the dentist. It's what I have to do. You see, to the believer, to those that put their faith in God, it's not a great tragedy that's coming forward, but it's just what is next in God's plan for your life. You see, you think about the believer. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I just want to show you real quick why death should not be feared for the believer. I know when I was a child, I was saved, trusted in Christ. But I tell you, there were some days I feared death. And I'll be the first to tell you this morning, I'm not looking forward to death. I'm not saying I'm ready, excited for it. But when the time comes, I believe my heart is right with God. I've done things according to the Bible, not according to my standards or someone else's. I have followed the direction of God's Word, trusted in Him as my Savior. And so I'm prepared to stand before the Lord. But when you think about death, it can be something that is scary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to begin reading in verse 55. It says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Notice this morning, that's the confidence a believer has when facing death, Jesus Christ. He says there, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Do you realize what a sting is? Have you ever been stung by a bee or a wasp? You feel it. It's painful. He says the sting of death is sin. We die because we're sinners. That's why there's death waiting for us. You know, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We have earned that, and that's what's ahead, and that's what we have. And then he says, and the strength of sin is the law. Of course, the law comes into play. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the victory we have over death is not victory in our own power and our own might and our own strength, but it's our faith in Jesus Christ. You see, that's where our victory is found. Faith in Jesus Christ. You know, when you get to heaven someday, you're not going to get up to heaven. You're not going to run around and talk about how great you are. You're not going to run around and say, I got to heaven because I did this, I did that, I paid for it, and I had this much money, I've earned it, and this many works, I was able to go and lift all these weights, and I'm strong. You're going to get to heaven, and you're going to be, I believe, probably humbled and grateful and thankful because you got there by God's grace and mercy. You were saved by grace and through faith. You put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you were saved. You see, that's what salvation is. That's the victory we have in Jesus Christ. We don't have victory in our works and our merits. Not even our church. I'm thankful for this church. But just coming every Sunday, even joining this church, is not going to gain you entrance into heaven. There has to be a relationship that you have with God. You have to seek His forgiveness. Simply trust in Him as your Savior. Now you think about this. The believer can have confidence because they have been forgiven. One of the worst things in the world is guilt. You know, my parents knew that. That's why when he got in trouble, there are times they say, well, just go think about what you did. You know, and if I went and thought about it, then I was like, oh man, I shouldn't have done that. Sometimes I tried to ignore thinking about it because I didn't want to think about the guilt. When we are forgiven, the guilt is gone. This morning, if you're saved, the Bible says you're forgiven. There's no more guilt. Yes, you may make some mistakes. You may not always do what's correct. But God has forgiven you. And you are settled. Things are settled between you and Him. and you have eternal life. Now this morning, I want to just mention this. Those that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, perhaps there is one here this morning. You've never placed your faith in Christ. You've been to church. You've been good. Maybe you've never even been interested in trusting in Christ. I want to challenge you right now to consider it, because it's a serious matter. It is a very serious matter, because death is real. You know, Hebrews 9:27, it says, as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. I can guarantee you this, nobody will argue with me on the first point of that verse. We all will die. Everyone agrees with that. The second part is just as real. You will stand before God as well. This morning, I want to challenge you, if you're here this morning, you've never trusted in Christ or have not had much interest in it, to a few thoughts here. And I'll leave it up to you, obviously, because it's between you and God. But death is separation. That's what death is. Physical death is separation from the body, from the soul. Eternal death, as the Bible teaches, is separation from God. Your soul will be separated from God forever. In other words, you will not enjoy the presence of God or the blessings of God ever again. And some will say, well, wait a minute, Pastor. I don't talk to God as it is. I don't know God, and I still, all right, everything's fine. But wait a minute. You do enjoy His blessings. Stop and think about it. Matthew says, for He maketh His sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And He sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. You see, God allows you to live in His world. God allows you to wake up each day. God allows you to have a job. God allows you to go forward in life. You do enjoy His blessings. At some point, if you refuse God and you go into eternity without trusting in Christ as your Savior, do you realize you will be separated from those blessings? That's what the Bible teaches. Separated forever. Now, of course, the answer is to repent and seek God's forgiveness. It's not too late. You're here this morning. And if you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, it's not too late. Repent and trust in the Lord. You see, Joseph, I believe, was able to look upon death without fear, simply because he had faith in God. He believed in God. He put his faith in the Lord. Secondly, he had faith when he looked upon his family. You know, when we leave this world, we are going to leave some behind us, friends and family. You know, I think it's interesting that three of the characters in a row, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, all of their testimonies of faith dealt with actions right before death. And I believe that's important, because when you think about it, that's really what's where it comes down to. Today, that's important. Is, are we ready? Are we prepared? Now, Joseph, it says, made mention or remembered the promise of God. It says there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 22, it says, when he died, he'd made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. You know what this refers to? It refers to that covenant way back in Genesis, given 200 years before Joseph's death, given to his grandpa or his great-grandpa, Abraham. That promise that God gave to him said, the land is yours, the nation will be blessed with government and power, and a Messiah will come. You see, God was going to send a Savior, and that promise was included in that covenant. And Joseph never forgot that. Now, he didn't give it directly. He didn't receive it directly. I'm sure he was told about it from his dad and his grandpa, and they said, guess what? God has made this promise. You hold on to this. And that's what he held on to. Now the land, now think about this. This was faith. He wasn't even living in the land. He was living in Egypt. The land was still inhabited by other people, but he looked at his family and said, guess what? God will give you that land. God will keep His promise. Now I want to make this clear. I believe his personal testimony was backed up by his words. Or backed up his words. And you may say, well, what do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. Everybody knew Joseph. Everybody knew his life. Everybody knew that he was a man of faith. He wasn't a hypocrite. You know, if we're not careful, we can be hypocritical. We can live one way on Sunday morning, and then Monday through Saturday, we can live another way. And believers can be guilty of that. And sad to say, there are some people in the world, I've met some who say, you know what, I have no interest in Christianity. And I've asked them why, and said, well, I've seen Christians. They live no different than me. Why should I even come to Christ? My life's the same as theirs already. You see, if we're not careful, we can be hypocrites in our actions and the way we live. Joseph was not like that. I believe when people looked upon him, they knew this is Joseph. This man had faith in God. This man did not go after the things of the world. Yes, he was blessed with great things, but he didn't chase after the sins of the world. He put his faith in God, and he was willing to live for the Lord. You know what that did? That backed up his words. This morning, if you want to be a testimony, now believers here this morning, you want to be a testimony to others, then live according to the Word of God. And when you share with people your faith, and if you're living it, then it will be powerful. But we must live according to God's Word. Now, Joseph was blessed, without a doubt. You think about this. He had a position, prime minister of Egypt, basically. And he had possessions. He was a wealthy man. Probably one of the wealthiest in the nation. So he had plenty of both, power and possessions. Now, riches can be a great hindrance. Let me explain this to you. I'm not against having wealth or riches. If God gives them to you, be thankful. But they can be a hindrance if we do not take care of them or if we're not prepared to handle them. You know, poor people often realize their need, but wealthy people sometimes do not see it. And you know why? Many times those that have don't understand their need to get things right with God. Not always. You see, wealth often produces trust in materials. You see, people say, well, I can buy that, I can get this, I don't need that. Why should I go after this? I can get everything I need, everything I want. Really? You can get everything physically, but not spiritually. You see, if we're not careful, wealth can take up our time. And wealth can cause our faith. Even as believers, wealth can cause our faith to be hindered. Here's why. The more you have, the more you have to deal with. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and sell everything this morning, as we'll see in a minute. But the more you have, the more you have to deal with. Now, this afternoon, we're going to have a fellowship dinner out there in the gymnasium. And there's a good chance. I've watched some of our children. Lord's blessed us with some excellent children in our church. I've seen some on occasion. I'm not going to call any names. They probably know which ones they are. I've seen some on occasion go fill up their cup with something to drink. And some of them will fill it all the way to the top. I mean, they want every drop in that cup. And if their parents don't see them, you can see them walking back to the table, got that drop in there. Do you realize their cup is full? I mean, it's almost overflowing. They have to walk slow. They got to be careful. You see, the more they have, the more they got to take care of. This morning, wealth, if we're not careful, can become a hindrance because the more we have, the more we have to deal with. The more we have to be responsible for, the more time we have to spend on it. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and sell that. I'm telling you, beware of the hindrance that riches can become in your life. Joseph had these. Now, keep in mind, Joseph had these, and guess what? They didn't become a hindrance. His faith was strong. This morning, if God has blessed you with a great job, God has blessed you with wealth, or God has blessed you with possessions or riches of the world, that's good. Thank God for those things. Don't let them hinder your faith. Don't put your faith in those uncertain riches of the world. You know, you think about Joseph. In the end, when it came down to it, nothing was said concerning his riches. Nothing at all. When it came down to it, nothing was said by him, and nothing was said by his family. This morning, when it comes down to the time that God calls you out, the riches will probably be the furthest thing from your mind. Your relationship with God, whether you have one or not, will obviously be what's most important. You see, it's possible, though, to have earthly honors and riches and look to God. And I want to make that clear because Joseph did that. You know, 1 Timothy 6 verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. See, there's nothing wrong with riches or wealth or houses or cars. It's when you fall in love with those things and you begin to live for them and say, oh, I just need more. Who was it? I think it was Hugh Hefner. They asked him once about how much is enough. He said, just one more dollar. You fall in love with the things of the world, you're never going to be satisfied. You're going to want one more thing. I got to have this. I got to have that. You see, people in this world today are just chasing the things of the world. Don't fall into that trap. You see, the Bible tells us that it's a great danger and we can lose sight of what's important. Now, if you have riches, in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, it says we're to thank God for those. Understand who has blessed you with those riches and put your faith in God. You see, it is possible to glorify God with what we have. I think that's what Joseph did. He glorified God with what he had, didn't lose his faith, and he stood strong even when nearing death. Thirdly, he had faith when he was looking into eternity. Now, this is going to bring us to the point here this morning. This is the final thought here. For Hebrews 11, notice what it says there in verse 22. It says, he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and gave commandment concerning his bones. He gave commandment concerning his bones. And we've already read the passage, what he told them what to do. Joseph asked his relatives, his family, after he died, to take his bones and to carry them out of Egypt into the land. Now, he asked them to do this when they would depart. He didn't ask them to do it immediately, right away. He said, wait until you depart, until you go into the land that God has called you, and then take my bones. You know, He was so convinced. Here's my thought here. He was so convinced that he made them take an oath. That's how convinced he was of God's promise. You see, he had that much faith in God's word. He said, God's going to keep his word. He's going to take you out of this land. Yes, you're going to be afflicted. Yes, there's going to be some hardships. But you wait. God will deliver you. And he made him take an oath that when God would deliver him, they would take his bones with him. Now, this was 200 years in the future still. He's acting by faith. And at this point in his life, keep in mind, he was still prominent in the land of Egypt. He was wealthy. He was known. The people of Israel were blessed. You know, there may have even been some of his family saying, you sure, Joseph? Come on, we got nice lives here. You talk about affliction? Joseph said, you wait. God will keep his word. You see, his actions were by faith, and they encouraged others to live by faith. You know, this morning as believers, when we live by faith, I think that's going to encourage others to live by faith. Dads, when you live by faith, your children will probably live by faith. Moms, when you live by faith, your children will live by faith. You see, you can encourage your husband or your wife to live by faith when you live by faith. You see, faith is contagious as far as living by faith. You see others live by faith, and you get encouraged when God blesses. You say, you know what, I can trust God too. You see, faith not only is for us to live by, but for us to leave an example for. Now, Joseph resided in Egypt, but he wasn't an Egyptian. He came from the land that God had promised. And he knew that he would return to that land. So he challenged his family. He said, don't settle for Egypt. Don't settle for the treasures here. Wait for the promise. Wait for what God has for you. It's so much better. You know, we need to be willing to wait upon God in our life. Sometimes we're childish with our impatience, aren't we, as believers? How many times you prayed a prayer and you didn't get the answer immediately? You say, God didn't hear me. God's not answering that prayer. How about we wait on God? Let him answer in his time. You know, if we're not careful, we can become immature. We can grumble and complain. And then next thing you know, we're filled with doubt because we don't think God's answering our prayers. Maybe God's just saying, I want you to wait before I answer that prayer. I got a plan. Hold on. Sit still. I'm going to answer it, but I'm going to answer it in my time. You see, we need to have faith in God and trust that he'll work in his time. You know, nothing else was, you read that, nothing else was told them to do with his bones. They weren't to worship him. They weren't to put him on display. From the passage, in both areas, what they did is they took the bones. He was embalmed. They put him in a coffin. The Bible makes that clear. And he probably sat there. They had maybe a location where they placed him until it was time to go. Then they took him and buried him there in the land. Finally, and this is where we're going to wrap this up, Joseph had faith in the resurrection, a future resurrection. And you say, Pastor, are you sure he had that faith? I'm going to explain to you why I believe he had that faith. First, Joseph was not the only one who had his body buried. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob all did the same thing. You think on this, loved ones. They had, really when you think about it, they had faith that they would live again. You know what it tells us? We're in Hebrews 11. If you just go back to verse 16 of Hebrews 11, notice what it says. It says, but now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. That's not talking about an earthly city. That's talking about a heavenly city, a future home after death, after life here on earth. You see, that's what they were looking for. That's what they were hoping in. They knew this world was temporary. They knew their life on earth would come to an end. They knew that they would stand before God. They knew that God was preparing a place for them. They knew that eternity existed, and that's what they were looking for. You see, Joseph had a concern for his body and his bones. Now this morning, you know, there's that debate. This is a big debate today amongst Christians as far as cremation and then burying the body. To be honest with you, I don't find anywhere in the scriptures where it says you can't cremate. I mean, I don't find anywhere, and I've heard all kinds of arguments, so I don't argue with anybody on that. If they want to do it, that's between them and God. And I don't believe that necessarily means you're not saved or saved. But I will tell you this. Many choose to be buried in basically as a testimony. The fact that we believe that we will rise again, that God will lift us up, and that he'll resurrect our bodies. You know, it's interesting. You read a lot of missionary accounts. And missionaries through the years, that's one of the things that have stuck out in the nations that they went and that they ministered to. Many of these nations that didn't believe in a resurrection, they thought you just lived life, you were gone. Maybe you'd come back as an animal or whatever. And then they'd meet a missionary who talk about eternal life and talk about God and teach them and show them the scriptures. And then when that missionary or someone in his family died and they were buried, that had impact. That was faith. That was a testimony. You do realize that you can leave a testimony behind. Now, what you do with your life is your life. That's your choice. But that can be a testimony. That's the testimony Joseph left behind. He believed that he would arise again as far as the resurrection. Now you say, well, why is this important, Pastor? How can this tie into the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Here's how. Joseph knew he had no power to lift himself up out of that grave. You know, this morning we are unable even to continue our life. I tell you what, we read about someone living to 100. I mean, that's pretty amazing. Now, if they go beyond 100, that turns into, wow, you know, that's got to be close to a Guinness record here pretty soon. You realize we cannot even maintain life past 100 years for the most part. If it goes past 100, it's just a little bit over for those that make it that far. But most people can't get there and can't reach that. There is no way we can resurrect our body. We don't have that power within us. And Joseph didn't have that power either. You see, Joseph didn't have the power to bring life back to himself. But he believed God did. And this morning, that's where we're talking about faith. You see, without Jesus Christ, there is no life. Because not only did he die for our sin, but the Bible says he arose on that third day. You see, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, there is no Christianity. I'm always baffled by those Christians, and there are a small group of Christians who question the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That baffles me. And the reason why it baffles me, because if there is no resurrection of Christ, really there is nothing to believe in as a Christian. Everything in Christianity rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If he remained in that grave, if he is still there and he has died, then this morning, I'll just say this, what we're doing this morning is pointless. If he did not come out of that grave, we're just, I don't know, just maybe having a good time, enjoying it. But what I am saying has no value, no merit if he is still in that grave. Because if he could not come out of that grave, the Son of God could not come out of that grave, then there's no way any of us are coming out of the grave. You see, we don't come out of the grave in the future. We're not going to live eternally because of our power and our strength. We live because of our faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a verse to back that up. Romans chapter 8 makes this very clear. Verse 17, it says, and if children, speaking of, well, verse 16 says, the Spirit beareth itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. You see, this morning, putting your faith in Christ, trusting in Christ as your Savior, you know what that does? The Bible teaches that, in a sense, unites you with Christ. You are now joint heirs with Christ. And you receive the blessings of that relationship. When you stand before God, he's not going to see your sinful past or even your sinful nature. That's been taken care of if you trusted in Christ. That was taken care of on the cross. That was taken care of with his life. What he will see, what God will see, he'll see his Son. He'll see the life or the blood that was covering your sin. See, that's our relationship with Christ. You see, faith. Faith in Christ is what produces that new life. Faith in Christ is what produces an eternal life. And this morning, if you have put your faith in Christ, then like Joseph, you will live eternally. And like Joseph, you can leave a testimony behind of the fact that you'll spend eternity with Christ. I was reading the story. D.L. Moody used to tell the story of a young girl who was 15 years old. And she suddenly had a disease. And it had taken a turn for the worse. And the doctor was sitting in her room and looked over to her parents. And the doctor quietly whispered, he said, I'm afraid to say her best days are past. Well, this 15-year-old girl heard the doctor. And you know what she exclaimed? In all her pain, sitting there on that bed, she screamed out and she said, no, doctor, my best days are yet to come. She goes, I'm about to see my King in all his glory. You see, she had faith. Faith in a future. Faith that looked beyond today. You see, that's what faith in Christ is. Putting your faith in Christ for salvation. Now, faith looks beyond today into the future. It looks beyond your circumstances, beyond your situation. And you think about this. Joseph was not concerned with what God had already done. And God did a lot of things in the past for him. He wasn't concerned with those things. You know what he was concerned with? He was concerned with what God was going to do in the future. This morning, I want to encourage you to look to the future. You know, the things in the past are already done, whether they're good or whether they're bad. You can't go back and change those. But the future is in front of you. Look to the future. Spiritually, examine your heart. If you haven't made a decision for Christ, then seriously consider that. If the Spirit is working in your heart, I encourage you to consider your salvation and then make the decision to trust in Christ. You see, you think about Joseph. He was looking forward. When I read this, this is not an account of a man beaten down, a man struggling, a man looking for something to hold on to. This is an account of a successful man in life, a man who was a statesman, a man who was a leader, a man who had been prosperous for 70 years, prosperous there in Egypt. And you know what we have? As he's nearing death, he realizes that, guess what? The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come for my people, he said, and the best was yet to come for him personally. This morning, if you have trusted in Christ, you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, do you realize the best is yet to come? I don't know your personal life and what you're going through, but if you're going through a trial or a struggle of some type, hold on. Don't quit. Don't give up. The best is yet to come. You have eternal life with God. That's settled. That's secure. And you're going to have a relationship with God forever. You see, Joseph was able to look beyond this world and into the next because of his faith in God and because of his salvation. You know, this morning, his faith remained strong. It was not weakened by the situation. It was not weakened by his surroundings living there in Egypt. It was not even weakened by his blessings, his prosperity. See, true faith shines during the darkest hours. And that's what we find with Joseph. True faith just shines, and you see it there. It's like a bright light there in the darkness. Faith in God. True faith finds strength when all seems hopeless. You know, many people near death, and they think, oh, this is just the worst. True faith finds strength in God because it's looking to God. And also, true faith remains to the end. Continues to look to God. Looks to the future. Why? Because here's what true faith is. True faith is confidence in God. That's what it is. Confidence in God. You hear that phrase? Putting all your eggs into one basket? I guess with children, they may have done that yesterday. They may even try to grab others' eggs and put them in their basket. Confidence in God is putting everything into God's hands, trusting Him. Of course, with salvation, putting your faith in Him. But then afterwards, as you live, and someday as you near this point in life, putting your faith in God, that He has a future plan for you, and that He'll take care of you. You know, this morning, as we think about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that's why it's possible. Because He's alive. Because today He sits on the throne of heaven, He rules, He's going to return, and He's going to accept us as we enter into glory. Let's praise God. Thank Him for salvation. Here this morning, we're going to have a time of prayer here in a few minutes. And if anyone here, if God has worked upon your heart in any way, I encourage you to seek Him out. You can come down to these altars and pray, or you can pray right where you are. But if God has worked on your heart this morning, or as I guess you say, has challenged you in any way, I encourage you to get that settled. And it may be salvation. Maybe there's someone here that is you've been concerned about your salvation, or maybe this morning the Holy Spirit has finally just hit your heart and you realize, you know, I need to get that settled. I need to get that taken care of. If that's the case, if you know what you need to do, repent of your sins, trust in Christ as your Savior, then get it settled. If you have any questions during this time of prayer, you can come forward. And we can show you from the Scriptures how you can know that you're saved. Maybe you're here this morning and you're a believer. And maybe this was just a reminder of how good God is. One, of His salvation, what He's done for you. But maybe, as a believer, there have been some things in your life that have caused your faith to maybe be hindered a little bit. You know, we can all kind of, I don't say wander, but we can all just kind of, I guess you say, stop serving the way we should. Maybe this morning you're reminded of faith that, hey, I need to trust God with this. I need to give it to Him and just leave it with Him. We're going to have a word of prayer and then we'll have our invitation. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. I thank You for this passage and this testimony of Joseph, of him not only looking into the future, but looking to You and putting his faith in You. I pray this morning as we have this invitation that if you've worked in anybody's heart here today in any way, I pray that they get the matter settled with You.